morning and welcome to our AA meeting on air, 104.6 Planet FM. My name is Harriet and I'm an alcoholic and we'll be chairing our meeting this morning. Please welcome our speakers today, Anna, Peter and Catherine, who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope with you all. Would you all like to help me open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
This is the preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Anna, would you like to share your experience, strength and hope with us, please?
Yeah, thanks, Harriet. Good morning. My name is Anna and I'm an alcoholic.
Good morning, Anna.
My home group is Akron Big Book in Remuera on a Tuesday night at 7 p.m. I don't like to be... I wouldn't say I'm grateful to be an alcoholic, but what I am grateful for is knowing what is wrong with me today, and grateful to AA for a number of things, the biggest thing being I found a way to live without alcohol today. My drinking started when I was around 15, and I passed it off as just a normal teenage thing that you just get drunk, you're not experienced with alcohol. Everyone else was doing it and I didn't see it obviously as a problem at the time, and perhaps then it wasn't, but I wasn't aware throughout my drinking of the disease of alcoholism. I had a lot of, you could say it was more problematic, my drinking, when I was in my 20s onwards. That's when I started to notice that things weren't normal, because I found I was hiding my drinking. I found I was lying to people, and I didn't think that was a normal way. I didn't want to talk about how much I drank. People would make comments. My friends, when I'd go out drinking, saying, "You drink too much, you drink too fast." And sometimes I was aware of that, and I had to try hard not to. I tried to sit on a drink. I tried to appear normal, but I was always comfortable that I was either drinking not too much or trying to not drink any less than I wanted to. So I was stuck in a rock and a hard place, worried about what people thought of me and how much I could or couldn't control, and it was an effort. My drinking seemed to be going down an even worse path, and it wasn't just the way I felt about myself and the way I was acting towards people around me. I could slowly see where the drinking was taking me, because I'd end up in places and often I'd be saying to myself, "This is not me. This is not a place that I would go to. This is not a person that I would normally date or want to be with. Why and how did I get here?" I shied away from places where I used to feel comfortable, because I realized that those people I spent time with weren't the same as me. I felt they would judge me. I couldn't be honest with them. I didn't want to go to the nice bars or where people could drink normally and act in a good and decent and behave well, because I knew deep down I couldn't and I wasn't going to. So not only did I not want to drink and get drunk in front of others and make a fool of myself, it was easier just to drink at home and hide it that way. And then I thought the worst damage I could do was fall off a chair at home and nobody would know. You know, I didn't lose a lot on the outside with my drinking throughout the years. I didn't lose my job, but came very close to it. I had warnings from my boss, my first manager. I did lose relationships. Now, whether that was just because of my drinking or also perhaps it was just of the type of person I was, I don't want to just say drinking was my only problem, because it would be egotistical of me to blame everything just on alcohol. But I did lose friendships. I isolated myself. Not because I didn't like the people, I just felt that I couldn't be around them. I didn't feel that I was really worthy of their time, because deep down I knew what I'd kind of become. But again, it was still all about my drinking, and it was a selfish self-centeredness that somehow I just sought comfort in, even though I thought it wasn't normal. You know, my first interception, I guess, with some help was when my manager at work pretty much gave me an ultimatum kindly and said, you need some help and we're willing to support you. And I went to a rehab in 2007, where I spent 4 weeks, and came out of there. And with all respect to the rehab and the help that I got there, what I was taught and what I was shown and AA was introduced to me, I thought that when I left I'd be fine now, because I know that I can't drink. I know it's not something I can do, but I didn't really heed the advice I was given and the information I was given about the disease. I focused all on the drink. So it was no wonder when I went back to work and said, thank you for the 4 weeks leave you gave me, but I'm right now, that very, very slowly and gradually, whether it was weeks or months, I picked up drink again. And I remember thinking to myself, this time I'll be careful. I know I can't drink. I know I've got a problem, but I'll just be really careful. And it is progressive. And I drank for another 13 more years. And everything started spiraling. Again, I was close to losing my job. I was barely holding on to that. I'd like to think that I was a somewhat functioning alcoholic simply because I managed to hold on to things. But really, deep down inside, I was completely dysfunctional. And when you've got nothing in your life and you're not having people in your life, you can't see how much you're missing out on, because you close yourself up like a hermit. So it's not until I came into AA that when I had to show up, when I had to be in front of people, that's when I really started to realise what's wrong with me, when I realised how socially inept I was, when I couldn't make a simple phone call, when I was fearful of everything and I'd stopped drinking. That's when I truly discovered the disease of alcoholism. You know, what had been plaguing me for years about what's making me so unhappy. Why am I so discontent with life? I had everything to be grateful for, and I couldn't understand what was wrong with me. Today I do know. I had to change my thinking and my ideas, and I couldn't do that when I was drinking. I couldn't do that in the midst of my disease. I couldn't just wake up and will it away. It was AA that taught me a new way of thinking, a new way of living. It gave me hope when I realised that there were other people that experienced what I did. It gave me relief to know that I didn't have to fight and battle this anymore. And it was that desperation that drove me in. You know, I ended up in AA. I didn't come to AA. And it's this fellowship. It's the program that's taught me more acceptance. That's taught me it's okay and I don't need to pick up a drink today. It's a wonderful program, and they're wonderful people, and they're my people, the people I relate to. It's not the life that I chose. I didn't see myself years ago coming to AA meetings, but it's by far the one thing that's worked for me. So I'm very grateful to the fellowship and to this program that helps me live. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Anna. Peter, would you care to share with us, please?
Yes, thank you. My name is Peter, and I'm an alcoholic. Kia ora tātou, and welcome to this meeting. I like to say I wasn't an alcoholic until I came into AA. I just liked drinking. I didn't have a problem with drinking. My wife had a problem with my drinking, but I didn't have a problem at all. I used to do those things, you know, you come across them in dentist waiting rooms, old magazines, it says, there's a little quiz that says, have you got a problem with alcohol, you know? And I used to go through those every year or so, and I'd be ticking off 4 out of 10 things, no problem at all. Then each year I'd tick off a couple more, you know? And then I got up to 8 and I thought, well, still 2 to go, you know, I'm fine, got no problem at all. And to me, that touched on the kind of essence of my alcoholism, which was denial. I didn't have a problem. I just liked being sloshed all the time. Actually, I was, I suppose, what you call a high-functioning alcoholic. I had held down a good job, never missed a deadline, never missed a payment, always took my kids to soccer or turned up to appointments on time. So just at 5 o'clock every night, out comes the cork, the drinking starts, and the evening's gone. And I accepted it as kind of quite natural that if you said, can you do something at 8 o'clock on Thursday night, the true answer to that was, no, I can't because I'll be drunk as a skunk. But what I said was, oh, I got something else on. In other words, my life stopped at 5 o'clock. There was only one thing that I was doing after that was drinking. And the interesting thing was that I came into AA thinking I had a problem with drinking. And I've just told you I didn't. What I realized when I gave up the grog was that I still had a problem. And that problem was alcoholism. Let me tell you about the first time I went to a meeting. I was up north with my wife on holiday. And at the end of the holiday, last night, we were walking on the beach. It was all lovely. I said, what a wonderful holiday this has been. She said, yeah. And I said, oh, what's, you know, so disingenuous. I said, oh, what's that hesitation in your voice, knowing very well what was. She said, you know what it is. I just hate you being sloshed every night. And something really weird happened. I said the following sentence. When we get back to Auckland, I'm going to go to an AA meeting. And as soon as I said that, I thought, what in heaven's name did you say that for? That's madness. That's the last thing I want to do is to go to an AA meeting. But anyway, the next day we packed up and I heroically and very showily poured half a bottle of whiskey down the drain. We got back to Auckland. I didn't have a drink that night. And I went to the AA meeting on Saturday morning. And I walked in and I sat down, and towards the end of that meeting when they asked if anybody else wanted to share, I said, oh, I suppose I'd better share. And I was grumpy as hell about it. You know, the last thing I wanted to do was admit I was an alcoholic. And so that's why I say I wasn't an alcoholic till I got into the rooms, because you people, the people in this room and all the other people in the fellowship and all the meetings I've ever been to showed me the nature of my disease. You see, after I went into that first meeting, I have never had another drink. And I haven't ever really felt tempted to have another drink. To me, what that demonstrates is my alcoholism is not a drinking problem. I'm just talking for me here. My alcoholism is not a drinking problem. It is a problem with being Peter. That's the problem I have. And I have that every single day without ever having to struggle against the temptation to pick up a drink. I have to struggle to remain sober, and I love to make the distinction between sober and abstinent. Abstinent means I'm not drinking. I've done that flawlessly. I fail sobriety tests several times a day, every single day, because I have what we in the fellowship call stinking thinking. I have ways of reacting to the world around me which disturb and upset me. Now, the way I had the I used to have a solution to that, have a drink. If I was annoyed or upset, a couple of drinks, I thought, it's not a problem. Now I have to deal with that without alcohol. I have to deal with it by using the tools in the spiritual toolkit that AA gives to me. And where those tools exist are in what we call the 12-step program. If you're ever moved to come along to a meeting, you will hear about the 12-step program. And I can assure you that if you are fearless and thorough in the way you work through that, you will recover. But it's not going to be easy, and you'll have to do it again every single day. That's why we call it a 1 day at a time program. That's why we say the world record for sobriety is 24 hours, because that's the best I can manage, is to try and remain sober today, not have a drink today, but also look at how I react and attend to it. One of the things that I do like to talk about to people who are maybe first, if some of you are listening for the first time to a meeting here, you will have heard the word God mentioned a lot by people in AA. And maybe you're like me, that you feel pretty turned off by that word for all sorts of associations it drags along with you. What's important to remember is that to us AAs, God can be anything you want. It is a higher power. It is something that is bigger than yourself. What I realized not long after getting in here was the only way I was going to get sober and stay sober was by having recourse to a power greater than myself, because I had consistently failed to do it on my own. Now for me, and this is not an absolute truth for anyone else, I'm just telling you my conception of God. It is not me. That's the definition of God. What's the difference between God and Peter? God doesn't want to be Peter. Really, that's the way it works for me. Where God exists for me is in the concept of giving up, of handing over, of surrendering, of saying, I'm not in charge here. I don't have what it takes to deal with this situation. I need to give it away. So maybe that will be some way address any anxieties or apprehensions or hesitations you have about the use of the word God. But I hope that I've been able to say something today that has touched a chord in you, and thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Peter. Catherine, would you share with us, please?
Sure thing. Kia ora, I'm Catherine, and I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Monday Night Parnell Steps and Traditions, and I'm 3.5 years sober, by the grace of a God of my own understanding. Thank you so much for that share, Peter. Really powerful. I want to riff on something Peter said, which was about delusion. And, you know, I think I lived in delusion for a very, very long time. And part of that was being in a job where I was, you know, had immense amount of responsibility, was very stressed, and the way that I shut off my brain or the stinking thinking every evening was by drinking alcohol. And when I came to have, I guess, like a mini breakdown, or just realized I couldn't handle everything in my life that was going on, you would think at that point, you know, having a bottle or two of wine every night would become a fairly obvious problem. But it actually wasn't my first thought at all. My first thought was, I have a mental illness. Mm. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. Mm. Give me some medication. Because I wanted to keep drinking, and because I thought that this was how everyone drank. That's the delusion, right? I thought that everyone hated their job. Everyone was miserable. If you said that you enjoyed your life, I didn't trust you. I thought that you were just lying to yourself, first and foremost, and then secondly to me and to everyone else. I made a habit of being sarcastic and you know, grumpy, and you know, hidden humor and stuff like that. But I really thought this was how everyone was living their life. I just had my eyes more wide open than everyone else. I thought that you worked really hard, and then the reward for working really hard was that you got to be, you know, like at the end of Boston Legal, you get to have your cigar and your whiskey. You know, that's being an adult. Like in Scandal, you know, you have your bottle of red wine because, you know, life's stressful when you're an adult and this is your reward. So I think a lot of a theme for me in AA was dealing with all of these delusions that I'd applied like truths to my life. Somewhere in childhood and somewhere in my teenage years, I thought that this was how you had to be in life, and these were arbitrary rules that I developed for myself that I and everyone else had to stick to, and if you didn't stick to them, then I got deeply unhappy and stressed and couldn't understand what was going on. And the way that I dealt with that was by drinking alcohol. I was talking to a member of my family recently, who all know that I'm sober, and he said, you know, I really enjoy drinking, Catherine. I'd love to stop. I think I drink too much, but you know, I just can't give up that glass of Chardonnay with fish on a Sunday afternoon at a seaside restaurant, you know, after you've sailed over to Waiheke Island, and you know, it goes down so well. And I'm like, yeah, that's what we wanted every single time that we picked up alcohol. every single time I picked up alcohol, I wanted to escape to a place where I had no worries, where it was a Sunday afternoon, where time had no meaning, where I could just live in this like endless moment of relaxation and enjoyment. And that's, you know, we know that that's amazing. That's what I was trying to find every time I was picking up, because I didn't want to feel the way that I was feeling in that moment. You know, after I left that stressful job I was talking about, I drank for about 3 more years. And the end of my drinking, you know, wasn't cool or sexy or rock and roll. I was a student in my late 20s. I was working at a part-time job in a bar with everyone else was like 18 and 21. And I was failing papers but kind of like limping through my university studies. I was still turning up to my job. I wasn't in any trouble at work. I was still showing up. And that was still too much. You know, I was living in a tiny flat, and I was escaping just by drinking vodka and sodas, because if you're an alcoholic like me, at some point you'll start to think that it's the type of alcoholic beverage that you're drinking that's the problem. And you know, you'll tell yourself again, back to that topic of delusion, right? You'll say to yourself, oh, it's because I'm drinking red wine, it's the sugar in the red wine that's giving me a hangover and making me feel bad. It's because I'm drinking dark spirits, not light spirits, it's the Coca-Cola. And so I was drinking, you know, vodka and sodas and watching Graham Norton videos and trying to escape into this little world where Catherine wasn't Catherine, right? That Catherine didn't have the problems that Catherine would wake up with. And I can tell you by applying that, by extensive research and applying that that series of events over and over again, that you never wake up with your problems better than before you picked up the alcohol. So, you know, it wasn't maybe what other people would call rock bottom, but I had enough. And the thing for me that made a difference was I just couldn't see anything getting better. You know, I think the crazy thing about being alcoholic, and I was speaking to someone about this last night, is for most of the time that you were drinking, you didn't want to stop drinking. Mm-hmm. And then for all of us, there's been a period of time where we do want to stop drinking. And we had, again, that delusion that when we decided to, we would be able to. And by golly, when that moment occurs and you realize you cannot, that's a moment to look at yourself and be like, oh, okay, all right then. We actually can't. You know, I won't elaborate on the ways that I couldn't stop and the tactics that I tried to try and get myself to stop. My story doesn't include rehab, but I ended up in the same place as everyone else, where I ended up at my first meeting, which was Parnell Steps and Traditions. And that first meeting was really difficult. I think that was the moment where I, you know, admitted that I was powerless over alcohol and my life had become unmanageable, saying that I was an alcoholic to that room of people. And I was like, wow, we're... this is really happening. I was a bit shell-shocked, really. And I continued to be quite shell-shocked through my first few meetings. You know, now people will say, oh, I love going to a meeting. A meeting's so soothing. It's just so refreshing. That wasn't my experience to begin with. And it is that way now. But if you're struggling in the beginning, that was hard for me too. When I turned up, I did everything that the woman in those rooms said. I got a sponsor. I got a home group. My sponsor asked me to call her for 30 days at 6 a.m. in the morning. And I did that, even though I was a bartender who woke up routinely at 11 a.m. I'd just go out in my pajamas because I couldn't take the call in the flat, because that might have been revealing something about myself. And I started working through the steps. And... again, I've run out of time to tell you about my miraculous new life, but my life is pretty amazing today. There's no experience sober that I wouldn't change, you know, for the world, and prefer to go back to the drinking that I used to do. So I'll leave you with that. Have a lovely day, everyone. Thank you for asking me to share.
Thank you, Catherine. That's all we have time for today. Thank you again to Anna, Peter and Catherine for joining us in the studio today, and to all of you listening. We are on air each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. here on 104.6 Planet FM. If you or anyone you know is in need of help from AA, please either call on 0800 AA Works, That's 0800 229 6757, 0800 229 6757, or visit the AA website, www.aa.org.nz, where you can find a raft of information. And finally, you can find today's recording and others on the Planet FM radio website, www.planetaudio.org.nz, under the program name AA On Air. Finally, could you all join me in closing now with the Serenity Prayer?
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.